Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hour number three. Appreciate y'all rocking with us. J&J rolling you through, getting you ready for Giannotto and Jeffrey at the top of the hour. Usually on Mondays, just about every Monday that I can remember, come in here and get on my big green egg. I pat out burgers like I used to do at the Memphis Country Club. But I season these a little bit differently. I season them with respect. We've got many deserving candidates. Let's do respect burgers.
Now, it's time for the Jason and John Show Respect Burgers.
R-E-S-E-C-T.
Sizzling Respect Burgers, served hot and fresh from Jason and John.
So kind of gave away this first one there in the first hour because you could hear how impressed John Martin and I both were with the performance of Zach Edey and really what he's turned himself into. It's one of the greats in terms of production in the NCAA tournament. He's right up there with the best of them. We know the Boilermakers knock off Tennessee 72-66. Made a lot of people around here that root against the Vols very happy. Zach Edey had a career-high 40 points, 16 rebounds, goes 13 of 21 from the field, also hits 13 of 22 free-throw attempts, just straight dominance, and they needed it because two reasons. Purdue was not hitting the outside shot, so they needed every little bit from Edey that they got, but also because of what the Tennessee Vols were getting from Dalton Knecht, who scores 37 points but comes up short. It ended two. John touched on it with a heck of an exclamation point for Zach Edey, who gets the block with about 34 seconds left on Dalton Knecht. Pretty much seals it. Edey now, this run is unlike any we've seen because he's tied. Well, it's not unlike any we've seen, but in a long time because it tied him with David Robinson for the most consecutive NCAA tournament games with at least 20 and 10. They now are sit atop of that fine list. With five, Larry Bird, four straight with Indiana State that year, Blake Griffin, Shane Battier, some of the other names on that list. But, I mean, let's be real here. There's a good chance he's going to top it. And, you know, NC State, maybe with UConn, he is maybe sitting on a list by himself that doesn't include David Robinson by the time that this one is done. But, again, for the numbers, it goes back to the Fairleigh Dickinson loss last year. Realize it's been four games this tournament. That's why it's at five. He had 21-15 last year in the loss to Fairleigh Dickinson. 30-21 versus Grambling. 23-14 Utah State. 27-14 against Gonzaga. And then saves that incredible performance for Tennessee to get Matt Painter, as he said, getting Paint to the Final Four was important to him. 40-16 in that final game. And it's all the more impressive. One last thing. We touched on it. John mentioned it. What did he sit out, John? 33 seconds of that game. Played the entire thing. This dude's 7-4. He's 7-4. Came to Purdue as a three-star. He talked about it. Barnes, others overlooked him. Didn't think he was the guy. You can't do anything but respect Zach Edey's story, but also the performances now in the NCAA tournament. Like we said, he's doing things we haven't seen, and he may get to this level past David Robinson here with their next game against NC State. And speaking of them, I think you have to. John and I both think it's done, but you got to pay homage to Kevin Keats' back-against-the-wall motivational speeches, because it's been against the wall for nine straight games. It is crazy that they lost their final four games of the regular season. If I added it up right, seven of their final nine. They were an afterthought going into the ACC tournament. They win that 5-5 games, as improbable as it is, but it doesn't stop there. We've seen it. They've made this improbable run to the Final Four, and in doing so, we said it. As a number 11 seed, they're tied for the lowest seed to ever make the Final Four, and just the sixth one to do it. Of the six, they're the only high major that needed a conference tournament championship to get in, and again, had to win 5-5 days to do it. Nobody had been in that position. It's been nine straight win or go home games for NC State, and as we said, for Kevin Keats, it unlocked what you don't typically see around the country, a clause in his contract. You win the ACC tournament, unlocked 2 years. That's the other part of this story. Kevin Keats was likely on the way out this year for NC State. What was it, the fourth time in 5 years he was about to miss the NCAA tournament, and yet here they are about to take on Purdue on Saturday in the Final Four. It's pretty improbable, pretty crazy, and it may be the end of Kevin Keats' highs at North Carolina State, but what a high it is. Like I said, he may not, you know, this doesn't mean Kevin Keats is a great coach going forward, a Final Four coach the rest of the way, but it certainly means that once you make it, man, you're crowned in a way that you had not been before. And so you got to give Kevin Keats all the respect in the world. This North Carolina State, led by DJ Burns, all the respect in the world. I can't wait for that matchup between Burns and Zach Edey. Should be a good one. All right, yeah, I mean, you have to put it. If I'm going to put in Zach Edey, if I'm going to put in Kevin Keats, you have to put in UConn's second half run. And really, their dominance overall throughout this tourney. 30 points in a row they scored in that game on Illinois, 77-52 it ends up being, was a relatively close game at the half. And then before you know it, UConn is rolling again in this tournament. That 30-0 UConn run lasted, 30-0 scoring run, lasted for the final 149 of the first half and the first 719 of the second. You looked up, and I believe it was 23 was the number that that they were just, Illinois was just absolutely stuck on. Overall, now UConn has won its past 10 NCAA tournament games by at least 13. I'm going to repeat that. They have won 10 straight NCAA tournament games, including last year's title, by at least 13 points. They're the first team to win that many by double digits. The Huskies have trailed for 28 seconds in this year's tournament and beaten their four opponents by an average of 27.8 points. It's been complete dominance. We talked about it with Rob Doster there last segment. You know, Dan Hurley, you can crown him right now as the best thing in college basketball. I don't know that he's got to win back-to-back tournament titles to get that either. Crazy. Although at this point, I think it would be a major upset if they're not winning it. So shout out to the Huskies. Look like they're well on their way. Although maybe Purdue will have something to say about that next Monday night. We'll see. I'm looking past NC State there. But yes, I'm like John, stand down. NC State, stand down. We want to see a premier matchup, hopefully, in next Monday's title game. All right, finally, tonight, and more so than the men's tournament, and it's something I've talked about here for the last couple of weeks. We talked about it with Jessica Benson last Tuesday. The star power that will be on display tonight in the women's NCAA tournament, this is the Elite Eight, and you've obviously got a rematch of last year's title game that drew, 9 million, record 9.9, I should say 10 million, in viewers last year, was the most watched. You have got that matchup here in the Elite Eight tonight with LSU taking on Iowa, and we know the two stars there, obviously, Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese. You've also got, UConn and USC tonight, and that'd be old Paige Beckers and our girl Juju, who has been an absolute star as a freshman for USC. So literally in each of the two games, one for each team, you've got an absolute star. And again, that's what this women's tournament has had over the men's tournament this year, is that star power just about, it feels like, in every game. And so, again, shout out to the women. Obviously, this Elite Eight matchup, Mulkey, John's best friend or favorite women's coach, has talked about it too. Nobody's expecting 9.9 million viewers to watch tonight in an Elite Eight game, although it is the same two teams. But we are absolutely watching women's college basketball more because of players like Angel Reese, because of players like Caitlin Clark, Juju, Paige Beckers. It's been an absolute fantastic season. Should be a fun night in women's basketball tonight in the Elite Eight. But shout out to the women. Did you see they did them wrong, man, with the two the mismatched three-point lines and that one.
Bro.
I mean, it's ridiculous. Clown show. Again, that's on the company that painted the lines more so than it is the NCAA. But again, come on, man. What year is this? 2024. Coach is actually having to walk it off to prove that the line ain't the same as it is on the other end or where it's supposed to be. But anyway, give these women all the respect in the world. Should be a fantastic one. I'll be locked in tonight for LSU and Iowa.
Yeah, Iowa minus two in that game tonight. So I'm not really sure what has changed between now and last year. Does Iowa have anybody else that can play besides Caitlin Clark?
Not that I can name.
Yeah, I mean,
the narrative was that they're a better team than they were last year.
All right.
And maybe that's thus the reason for them being favored tonight.
Yeah.
Angel Reese has not been shooting the ball well. Perhaps that's part of it in this NCAA tournament. But what she does is get second and third and fourth chances because of the way she's able to rebound.
Right.
So, again, I'm not going to try to call this one. But, you know, Kayla Clark's had it circled, you know, hoping that she could get a rematch with the way that all went down. Expect trash talking tonight. Remember how we came in here after the championship game last year? Did Angel Reese go too far?
Yes.
And Caitlin Clark told us, no, she didn't. We talked trash like that.
Yes.
Let's expect it tonight, as the Athletic wrote. We don't need any clutching of pearls tomorrow.
Correct.
When we see women talking trash to each other.
Yep.
And we're trying to feel, that's just, no, let's not do that. This is fun, and it adds to it.
It's
and
so
Caitlin Clark
fun.
And Angel Reese have told you that.
It's incredibly fun, all right? At the end of the day, it's so much fun.
Don't give a disrespect, dog, if I can just make a request to Rick Barnes.
No, I would
not.
Because
you've done that already.
I have to give it to Kim Mulkey, though. I do. I have to do it because she made such a big stink about this article and started trying to play God and all these different things. And the article comes out, and it's a well-reported story. It's a well-documented, good profile of a woman who, you know, has become estranged from her family and, you know, one at a high level, but it's like the story was basically Kim Mulkey is a high level college basketball coach who wins a lot of games, but at what cost? That's kind of the story. She doesn't talk to her dad. She's estranged from her dad, even though the dad still goes to the games and stuff. I actually came away feeling very sad for Kim Mulkey that she's in a place for whatever reason. I don't know that the story did a good job. Maybe I need to read it up quite over again, but I don't know if it did a great job of explaining why they're estranged, but they are. It really didn't. It had some things in there, like some references that maybe she didn't want players to talk about their sexuality openly, and you know that she doesn't allow people to have their phones during like meetings or whatever. But you know, it didn't really. There was no smoking gun, right? So I don't like what was the big fuss from her about, you know, that's what I don't understand. You know, she was really worried, it felt like, about what this author was going to report, that I'm like, is there something else that you got going on that maybe he didn't uncover? I don't know. But I just felt like she could have handled that in a much different way, especially now that we know what the article is. Most of that stuff she's written about in her own book. You know, she wrote about her players. She wrote about, you know, all that stuff with Brittany Griner. I mean, it's all documented, you know. So, she carried herself like a real jackass in that situation.
I would ask you, that did she not, in a way, by coming out ahead of this, getting out ahead of it, sort of, so when it drops, and again, you've read the whole thing, I have not.
Mm-hmm.
But when it drops, and yes, you were expecting more, but there's not, isn't there then the focus on the Washington Post that, as opposed to her, more so on them, like, this is it? Like, didn't she, in a way, set that up with the whole, because this story, that's all I've seen. I heard Jeff a little bit, now I'm listening to you talk about it, and it's like, yeah, it just kind of paints her as, yeah, well, she's a great success, but, and you, as you said, at what cost? Maybe family, familial relationships, whatever else, but that we expected more, and it sort of put the focus on the Washington Post, like, this is it? Like, you know, now Jeff made the point that it was never supposed to be some expose where you're revealing all this new information on her. It was just a feature piece on a great coach. But didn't she have? She had us expecting that, and so aren't we looking at the Washington Post as sort of this is a letdown? I mean, the general, I know you and Jeff aren't. You guys are journalists.
Well, I think Pat.
That can see, okay, well, this was the initial plan anyway.
Pat
wasn't
did the disservice, right? Pat did the disservice of, like, promoting this thing as if it's going to be
40, I keep forgetting.
He started
He's the one that started.
And then she got a chance to respond to it.
She wasn't first out. Really, Pat kind of forced her hand a little bit
in a way. Yes, or at least he gave her the opportunity.
To me, it feels like it just took some of the teeth out of this.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that, like, the reporter
was,
like...
But maybe they were never intended to... That's Jeff's point. The teeth weren't intended.
Yeah, the reporter was just trying to do a profile of Kim Mulkey, you know, and get her... Who is she? Who is the essence of Kim Mulkey?
Yeah.
And I get it. People don't like being, snooped around. I understand that. You know what I mean? But... It wasn't like some, oh, I'm going to get you and we're going to bury you.
Right. It was never intended to be an I'm going to get you piece.
Exactly.
Right.
It wasn't like, it didn't feel
no,
like.
I said, yeah. No, I see. I mean, even in asking the question, I mean, I can sort of see the answer now.
That, mm-hmm.
Kent Babb, isn't
Kent
that the writer?
Kent Babb is his name, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, then I guess maybe not so effective by Mulkey then.
Yeah.
In that way. Because it was never supposed to be that.
It just wasn't. So, you know, it's. But again, I think they do win tonight. I do think LSU wins, because I feel like Iowa was just they just. I mean, Caitlin Clark had 30 last year in the championship game, and they lost by 17. So what's she gonna have? She's gonna have to have 50 now. I mean,
she's gonna have to have some help. Is what she's gonna have to have if they're gonna win the game.
But I haven't watched. I mean, I just. I'll be honest. I don't watch women's basketball. I watched a little bit here and there. Like, so, I know LSU has had some ups and downs this year, you know, but past that, I'm not real sure. I just know that LSU has multiple players that they can get production from, right? Flauje Van.
Look at you. Flauje.
Yeah. And of course Angel Reese. Yeah, but I don't know Iowa from their standpoint who they would say is their second and third best. Don't know. So anyway, I'll be watching. I'll have it on. I'll tune in. Because at worst, I get to, celebrate the departure of Kim Mulkey from the NCAA tournament. So that's always fun. All right, we'll come back. Jason Fitz going to hopefully join us. We'll talk to him about the NCAA tournament, UConn, Purdue, some NFL, all that and more on the other side. Jason and John, how do you turn to him?
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
ESPN.
Jason Fitz, the host for Yahoo Sports, Fox Sports Radio, joins us every Monday, and he joins us now. Fitz, what's going on, man? Appreciate the time, as always.
How's it going, gentlemen?
Everything is good. Got a Final Four and hopefully a national championship game that shakes out the way we hope with UConn and Purdue. On UConn, can you remember in any sport a run as dominant as the one that UConn has been on for the last 2 years?
Heck no. And you know, honestly, even in that game, I asked Danny Green, who I'm co-hosting stuff with for Yahoo, I asked him if he'd ever been part of a 30-0 run between two comparable teams in his entire career in basketball. And he laughed and he said he thought one time in elementary school his team went on a 30-0 run. But, like, think about what we've seen and the fact that the last two games were close in the first half, right? And then you just see what Connecticut can do when they throttle down and they just start. When they just expose how good they are. couple of things that stand out. They run plays better than anybody, so they know exactly what they want to do and how they want to do it. And they stay so calm because they can beat you in 100 different ways. So it's interesting to me because Purdue is sort of a one-trick pony. We all know that. Tennessee was the same way, right? But that's the opposite of what Connecticut is. Like, UConn is just a juggernaut because they've won games where Klingon wasn't his best. They won a game where their three-point shooting was absolutely horrid. It doesn't matter. Like, I genuinely don't know how you beat this version of Connecticut. It reminds me a lot of the UNLV team I watched as a little kid.
It doesn't sound like it, and you kind of laid it out there, that you would have much faith at all in a Purdue team that, while they're kind of one-dimensional, although I will say they didn't hit threes against Tennessee. Zach Edey steps up. I mean, that's a team that if it's hitting its threes and it's got Zach Edey, it can be just about anybody. Sounds like you think it would be more of the same if those two matched up, that UConn's rolling?
I mean, UConn's just better than everybody. Now, you're right. I mean, how often do we hear leading into the Tennessee matchup, well, Tennessee's the best defensive team in the country. They're going to be able to force Edey to go a different way. He's not going to want to have to roll right. And all he did was have a career game,
that's
right?
Good.
You know, so
yep.
It's really the way Zach Edey is dominating right now is particularly special, because we all knew, like, they even joked on the broadcast, everybody knows what's about to happen. We all knew it. And there was just no way for Connecticut. There was no way for Tennessee to slow it down. It was really shocking to see. We can call that Purdue-Tennessee all day long. That was not. That was Zach Edey taking on Dalton Knecht. And I'm here for every second of it. But my God, what those two lifted to get their teams to that point was really special. Zach Edey is playing at a different level right now.
Yeah, there is no doubt about that. It was really, truly something to behold. How do you sort of take a coach like Kevin Keats, though, who prior to this run was on the verge of being fired? The team was utterly mediocre, maybe at best, in ACC play. And yet here Kevin Keats is. He wins the ACC tournament. He has an automatic extension that kicks in. He's in the Final Four. It's almost like the inverse of Matt Painter, right? It's not doing anything in the regular season, but doing something like this and going on a Final Four run. So how do you assess a coach like that?
Yeah, I think this is going to be an interesting study here, because what's funny to me, and I think we've sort of undersold this, there was an element. Sorry, my dogs apparently like this take too.
They love.
There was an element
Kevin
at the
Keats.
End
Wolf
of the
packs in the house.
I know, right. But at the end of the game yesterday, when they were asked what was different, I thought it was particularly interesting what the difference was when the players acquiesced. They started taking it more seriously. The NC State players admitted they started showing up on time. People started going to practice and giving more practice. Like, there's a real question to me about Keats. Like, why was that not happening before? Where was the disconnect before all of that, that, you know, there was something missing from this team? So I do think that this is one of those moments where you're now locked into a coach that's having a magical run. But, my God, what does that mean for the future? I don't know.
Will you be watching tonight, Fitzy? I've got draft and NFL questions. But, yes, tonight, and we were just discussing the star power of this women's tournament and how it does. I mean, they've got more star power, much more star power, it feels like, than even the men's tournament. Looking forward to this Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark part two matchup tonight, aren't you?
Yeah, it's Magic versus Larry. Like, that's what this is for women's college basketball right now. It's like, you've got two guys, two ladies in this situation that come in with massive, massive followings. Everybody's fallen in love with the different personalities of the two players, and I'm here for every second of it. Like, this is where women's college basketball can win right now, is because, A, the players are better than ever, right? And we're seeing that. There's better talent coming up the ranks in women's college basketball all the way up and down. And then on top of all of that, because they stay longer as a byproduct of that, you end up getting these moments, right? I'll go back to when I was a little kid. I mentioned earlier, UNLV Duke meant something the second year when Duke beat them, because they'd been just destroyed in the national championship game back-to-back. You know, like, that was such an interesting situation. We don't get as much of that in college basketball because it's churn and burn, one and done on the men's side. On the women's side, we're looking forward to this because we saw what happened last year from two great players that are also two great personalities. So, yeah, I think – and we're also sleeping through all of this on the fact that Paige Beckers might be the best of all of them in the long term, and also is, by the way, on a team – the national championship themselves. Like, UConn could win in the men's and women's, and it would not surprise me at all. So the talent level that we're getting right now is absolutely astounding. I think the women's game is about to blow up too to the W, because how many people are going to follow? Okay, like, this is the advantage that college football gives the NFL from the outset, is that people are in love with some of these college football players, so they follow them in the NFL. They know more about them. We live in a world where Zach Edey, I've had these great debates for 2 weeks. Most people don't think he's an NBA prospect at all, and if he is, it won't be a good one. So the best player in college basketball means nothing, but these women are going to go from college basketball to the W, and we can all know right now, like, wherever Angel and Caitlin end up, you telling me that we're not going to flock to watch their first WNBA matchup? We will.
Yeah, no, I mean, it definitely does feel like there's just been an ascension, and I don't know maybe when it started or who it started with, but it just feels like the last 3 to 4 years, really since COVID, I just kind of use COVID as a baseline for everything now, that it's just really taken off, and there's more star power and there's more eyeballs, and that's great. That's a great thing, because what I appreciate about the women's game, Fitz, is that these young ladies make their foul shots.
Well, remember, just 2 years ago we were appalled by the amount of the lack of the investment by the NCAA. Remember, wasn't it just 2 tournaments ago that we were saying, remember the weight room for the women, or quote unquote weight room?
Yeah, that's right.
I think that too is kind of maybe in a way helped the cause, because women were being done wrong by the women's tournament was being done wrong by the NCAA. You remember that, Fitz?
Until 2 years ago, the women's tournament wasn't even allowed to use the phrase March Madness around their tournament.
Exactly.
It was basically just for the men. Think about that. Like, it's a wild transformation we're seeing take place. And you're not wrong, by the way. They make their free throws. Yeah, like, there's an element of, like, I said to, because we've got a great crew at Yahoo that's covering the women's side also, and I was talking to Roz Golden Wude about this, and I told her after the first weekend, we were all together at the Yahoo headquarters in LA, and I said, I want to live in a beautiful world where when I turn on the multi view on YouTube, it doesn't matter on YouTube TV. It's just college basketball. It doesn't matter if it's men's or women's. And what do you know? Over the course of last weekend, the first multi view I was offered had a women's game on one side and a men's game on the other. And I'm like, that's when we're all winning. Because if you love ball, you love ball, right? Like, I just want to see great matchups. And so, yeah, all day, every day. I think this has transformed the women's game in the way it's seen, and nothing puts the toothpaste back in the tube, and I'm happy about that.
Talking to Jason Fitz, catch him on Yahoo and Fox Sports Radio. Okay, I feel like we know where the Bears are going with number one. It gets interesting after that. Who should it be? What should the order be in the quarterback race in this draft?
I'll tell you this, and so I'm not going to tell you what I would do here. I'm going to tell you what I genuinely think is going to happen. I talked to somebody I think that's pretty informed and got it very clear. You just sort of dial through sources here. And without question, the J.J. McCarthy, the Washington thing is real. I think it's going to happen. I don't think it's the right pick, but I think the second overall pick in this year's draft is going to be J.J. McCarthy to Washington. I have too many people that are in the know telling me that that's where it's going to be, whether anyone accepts it or not. Now, part of this is, look at Washington's new GM, came from San Francisco. What type of quarterback did they like in San Francisco? The only one they didn't have a lot of success with was Trey Lance, right? Like, they like the Jimmy G style. They like, that particular quarterback that, frankly, they've decided that J.J. McCarthy is. How that fits with Cliff Kingsbury, I think, is a little bit weird, but I think J.J.'s going too. And that means that suddenly, if J.J. goes too, that means New England's sitting here with their choice of Jaden Daniels or Drake May. And look, we're suddenly downgrading everything about Drake May, which makes no sense to me. I think Jaden Daniels goes 3. And then, by the way, if Drake May's really sitting there at 4, Arizona's going to sell that pick off for a king's ransom, and somebody's going to move up to get it. I think it's probably the Giants. Like, guys, at this point, if I had to bet my house on one outcome in this year's draft, I would bet it on quarterbacks going 1, 2, 3, and 4, because Arizona's going to trade out. The only problem is, if you're the Raiders, if you're the Broncos, even if you're the Vikings, that's a long trade down. I think the Giants have a really nice position where they can trade up to 4, get a quarterback, and then if you're Arizona, you trade back to 6. You're still either going to walk away with one of the best wide receivers or the best tackle in this year's draft. So I think quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3, 4. It sounds stupid, and I know I sound stupid saying it, but I've talked to too many people that are well-connected. I think it's real.
Okay, that's the way you think it's going to go, and I kept hearing you say, and even in your phrasing there, they. What do you think J.J. McCarthy is going to be in the NFL? I was just looking through Mel's. just this is just in terms of a stock. I mean, you know, as prospects, he's got him 14th. That's not saying where he's going to go. He's got him that low. What do you think of J.J. McCarthy in the NFL?
I think that J.J. McCarthy is going to be mid at best. Oh, and look, I mean, Nate Tice has done a great breakdown. It's out on Yahoo, shamelessly, but on why J.J. can't throw left. He just can't.
Whole side of the field, right? Part, yeah, I've seen that.
We're just eliminating it. And then the other part of it is people keep saying, well, look at the offense he was asked to run and how much control he has. Okay, well, I'm going to presume that most of these guys are capable of running some level of offense. But importantly, when I tried to nail Harbaugh down on if he's the next Andrew Luck, why didn't you utilize him more? He skated that question. I think that's real, you know? And so everybody's picking and choosing. Why is it we're sitting here saying, well, you got to give him credit for the wins for Michigan. But then when we talk about Michael Penix Jr., it's, well, look at the guys he played with. Did I miss something on Michigan? Like, right. That's a pretty damn talented football team. So, look, this is the hill I keep dying on. If you talk about the quarterbacks that last second just jetted up the boards, or even rumors of jetting up the boards, like Will Levis, we'll see. Malik Willis, not any good. Mac Jones, not any good. Trey Lance, not any good. Go up and down the list. The quarterbacks that we become obsessed with that out of nowhere just jump up the board. Like Josh Allen was not a top pick, like a top one or two pick, but he didn't jet up the board. Everybody knew what was coming. Everybody knew that Mahomes was going to be picked somewhere in that 8 to 15 range, right? Like he didn't jet up the board. The guys that suddenly find themselves being a top five pick out of nowhere at the quarterback position don't work out. So to me, I think we are just absolutely, we're cramming a square peg into a circular hole here. And Harbaugh is brilliant for doing it because the Chargers are going to be sitting at five and they'll have their pick of every non-quarterback in the NFL.
Okay, what do you think the Raiders will do? What do you think the plan is? What's the target? Is there a chance that it's quarterback? Like, what do you think if they really had their way, they would do in this draft?
I'm fairly certain at this point that the Raiders have made aggressive moves to try and move up to number three. I don't think there's any secret to the fact that they want Jaden Daniels. I know that, but I also don't think they can get him. I think they went into this offseason with a plan of here's how we think we can move up for the quarterback that we want. The problem is they're not going to have the ability to do that. I don't think you can offer New England anything and they're going to trade out of three. And that's real. So I think the Raiders' plan at quarterback was to get Jaden Daniels. Now I think the most likely solution is that they sit at 13 and they'll take the best player on the board, which at that point is going to have a real opportunity to be one of the best offensive linemen or probably the best corner, whichever one they prefer. And then they'll look at Penix if they want, maybe in the second round, if he's still there. Guys, I don't think Penix is there. And I've had too many people tell me that Bo Nix is even gone before the Raiders pick. Like, I think we're looking at a real world where five quarterbacks are gone in the first 12 picks. So is it worth trading up to take the sixth best quarterback in this year's draft? My answer is no. So I think more likely than not, the Raiders are going to be like, look at your only option then. You be patient. You take the best player available on your board. If you happen to get the chance to get Penix by trading back in late in the first or taking him early in the second, that's a home run. But most likely, I think Gardner Minshew is probably the starter week one. And unfortunately, the only thing you can do then is say, let's address the rest of a team in a way that, you know, we try and insulate our quarterback as strong as possible. And then if you're the Raiders, you're just looking at next year saying, you know what, a really talented roster would look pretty good with Dak at quarterback. And that's the undertold part of all of this for every single team is that Dak has it in his contract that he cannot be traded and he cannot be franchised. So if they go into this season with anything less than a market-breaking deal, there is going to be a bidding war for Dak Prescott next year in the $50 million range. I think that's real. And I think that the Raiders would absolutely back up the Brinks truck just to simply get a solution at the quarterback position for the next 5 years.
Yeah, I mean, because that's what you have to have. I mean, I think the team is actually pretty good. They've got a lot of positions. I mean, they got to get another DB, but Jack Jones showed he could do that. Safeties are fine. Defensive line you've addressed. You have weapons with your receivers and you're running back with Zeus. I mean, they're just missing a QB, it feels like, to compete. Yeah. And it's a big hole. Like, they ain't close. Like, Gardner Minshew is not it. But you got to, I mean.
I honestly think as the Raiders sit today with Gardner, they're still a 7 or 8 win team. The defense is too good not to be. So,
well, I know, but that's like kind of the worst thing to be. You know, like they're openly committing to being in purgatory, which is like, mm-hmm. I hate that. Like, just be one or the other. Be really good or really bad and give yourself a chance to, because the stopgap stuff ain't going to work for anybody, right? Like, you know, and that's why, you know, you see guys like Tannehill's out there still, and I guess they're trying to do it in Pittsburgh with Russell Wilson, but it's just not a solution, you know, and you have to find a way to compete. And I don't know, who was the stopgap quarterback that led their team to great success? I can't think of one off the top of my head.
None, but this is the only thing I'd say. Like, you know what? I think my resume in music was pretty darn good. And I think I'd probably walk into most clubs holding a fiddle in my hand and saying, all right, I'm going to sit on stage. I'm about to be the biggest guy in town. And then all of a sudden you sit on stage and you look next to you and you're like, oh, wait, that guy has 15 Grammys. Oh, wait, that guy over there has 42 Grammys. Like, sometimes, no matter what you thought walking into the room, you thought you were big dog. No matter what you do, you can't change the fact that you aren't. And that's a problem for the Raiders right now. Like, they can walk into the room thinking, you know what, we will pay whatever it takes to get a quarterback. Well, A, whatever it takes means that a team would have to move down to 13, which is far enough down that other teams might be uncomfortable. B, whatever it takes. I literally think that I today could call any of the teams picking 1, 2, or 3. And I could offer any of those teams 5 years of first-round draft picks, and they'd all tell me to go to hell. I don't think 1, 2, and 3 are going anywhere no matter what the offer is. So now your only shot is 4, and you're going to have to overpay so much to get to 4. The question is the guy you love? Like, because all we're thinking is I want a quarterback. Mm. But inside the organization, if they're looking around and saying, hey, they might be saying that we would give up 4 years first-round picks for Jaden. But if Jaden's not there at 4, you giving up 4 just to J.J. just because you got to get a quarterback? Like, that's dumb business. That's bad business.
Wide receiver, also a incredibly deep position group in this year's draft. If for your money, is Marvin Harrison Jr. still the best one? I've seen a ton of Malik Nabers as the one you want here, especially the last week or two.
I think we are undervaluing Marvin Harrison Jr. in a way right now that's insulting to how good he is.
Wow.
And yeah. I talked to one former scout last week that said, look, the only guy I've ever seen that I would put in a comparable category to Marvin Harrison Jr. coming out of college was Randy Moss. Now, if you got a chance to go get Randy Moss, go get Randy Moss. Like, don't make this complicated. I think Malik's going to be great. I think Rome Odunze is going to be great. I think there's value at the first round, late in the first round at wide receiver. There are 7 or 8 guys you could justify picking at wide receiver. Like, the Chiefs picking at the bottom of the first round are going to answer their wide receiver position needs. I don't doubt that at all. The thing of it is, if you're the Cardinals and you're looking around and you're saying, well, Kyler Murray could be throwing to the next Randy Moss, you do that. As somebody that, you know, I have a Biletnikoff Award vote, and I have for several years. The number that stood out to me on Marvin Harrison over the last 2 years is 0. That's how many drops he has in the last 2 seasons combined. Mm. 0. He's never been hit with a drop in 2 years. Who can say that?
That's,
I mean,
impressive.
He's a throw saver. It doesn't, like, there's no such thing as 50-50 balls with him. They're 80-20. So, I think Marvin Harrison, there's a reason he's not working out. He's not doing anything because he's looking around and saying, man, all I can do is downgrade my greatness. It'd be like, you know, there's no point in a great coming out and doing any of this if their tape stands out the way his does. I don't think we need to complicate this. Marvin Harrison Jr., and he might end up being the best player in this entire draft. Marvin Harrison Jr. and Joe Alt in any other draft would be number one overall picks.
Yeah. Hey, Fitz, man, great stuff as always, brother. Thanks
Love
for
it,
the
brother.
Time.
Thank you.
Appreciate you, boys. Have a great week.
Yes, sir. He is Jason Fitz. Runs every Monday here on the show. We'll come back, wrap this up on a Monday. Jason.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
90.9 FM, ESPN. The party is still going. The 60% off sale at Robin Irwin Jewelers is coming to Perkins, the Perkins location. This Saturday, April 6th, it's your last chance. Last one of, who knows, maybe 5 years, maybe 10 years, who knows. But your last chance to get 60% off at Robin Irwin Jewelers. Perkins extended, really 60% off. All right, it's not... All right, let's inflate the prices and just bring them back down to what they were and trick everybody. It's not what they're doing. It's really a markdown. 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., 60% off anything in the showcase. Diamond anniversary bands, diamond rings, diamond pendants, 60% off. Designer jewelry, engagement rings. If it's in the showcase, it's 60% off. Get out there to Perkins this Saturday.
A lot of fine pieces at that Perkins extended store. And, of course, we're talking over 1,000 of them to choose from. So you're going to want to get there early. Again, if you were able to take advantage of these sales, South Haven at Bartlett, maybe you want to take advantage again. Because as we're telling you, this is the last time. We've covered the stores now. And so over 1,000 items, 60% off everything. And as John said, we ain't marking up to mark down. Howie ain't doing it like that. Take advantage. Special financing available. You can get up to 6 months interest-free at Robert Irwin Jewelers or take up to 60 months to pay. Do not miss it. It's the last sixth hour, 60% sale off sale this Saturday again from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Perkins Extended Robert Irwin Jewelers. For complete details, go online to rijewelers.com.
Shout out to the Memphis Showboats.
Hey! 1-0.
Oh, man, no. And they did it even though they didn't have Joe Burrow at quarterback. There was some talk that maybe Joe Burrow would be coming to the Showboats.
Well, we got Cookus.
Oh, yeah, Cookus. And he cooked them, didn't he?
Well, he did not really. 18-12.
Dude, that's
defense cooked them.
That's right. Number one defense in the league.
I believe they may very well have it.
How about that?
They may very well have it.
That's awesome.
As hard as that was to get out.
Yeah, the Memphis.
You know who
the
coaches,
Memphis Arlington Showboat.
You know who coaches that defense? Remember I let you know about him last year? How good a job he was doing.
Who's that?
Former Pittsburgh Steeler.
Who's that?
Come on, man, Carnell Lake.
Bro, I don't be doing the damn arena football.
They brought him back this year. He was so good last year under a new head coach, and he continued his dominance this weekend. Guess who they got this weekend coming up?
Who's that?
Your Brahma Bulls.
The Brahma Bulls.
Brahmas.
All right.
Both 1-0. That one will be at the Simmer, Simmons Bank.
Love it.
On Saturday.
All right. Hey, that's going to do it for us today. Thanks to Jason Fitz for joining us. Thanks to Rob Dawson for joining us on the show as well. Gino and Jeffrey are up next. Don't miss it. For Jason, I'm John. We're gone.
WMFS FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis, celebrating a legacy of sports as the flagship home of the Memphis Grizzlies and Tigers talk. Always live on the Odyssey app and on smart speakers. Say, play 92.9 ESPN.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.